Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, April 11th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 90, the second full paragraph, beginning with, "If there is any indication," reading one paragraph ending with, "If the tables were turned," and we're going to read and comment on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Julie E.B. reading the text, Eileen M. will be reading page 164, and Penny L.C. is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeters, Christina M., and announcements will be Shelley E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, April 10th, 2025, is 22,000. 335 or 22335. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,337 or 22337. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Stephanie, and thank you for your service. And welcome, everyone. My name is Terry G., and I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make an amends to them all. Nine, having direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do service. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. And if you could please hit star one to mute your phone, please, where there's a lot of background noise when Terry was reading the 12 steps. We'd appreciate it so we can have a nice quiet recording. I will now ask Penny L.C. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., Grateful Recovered Compulsive Overeater. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as we may express him, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Yes.
Oh, thank you so much, Penny LC. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 90. We're reading the second full paragraph, beginning with, if there is any indication, ending with, if the tables were turned. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Julie E.B. to please begin reading. Good morning, Julie. Julie,
Hi, can you Julie hit star E.B. Thank you. Sorry. And I apologize. Last week, my phone hung up on me before the reading. Thank you to all of you. Hi, this is Julie, gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I am grateful to be reading today. All right. If there is any indication that he wants to stop, have a good talk with the person most interested in him, usually his wife. Get an idea of his behavior, his problems, his background, the seriousness of his condition, and his religious leanings. You need this information to put yourself in his place, to see how you would like him to approach you if the tables were turned. Thank you. This is kind of an interesting paragraph because most of the time these days we're not talking in the community. We may not know somebody's wife or the person most interested in him. But the first line is very important, if there's an indication they want to stop. So this is not about my agenda. I don't know. I learned very early. I have no idea when someone needs their food or doesn't need their food. It is their way of coping. It is my way of, I should speak for myself, it is my way, it was my way of coping. And even though it didn't work, I have a person in my life who shared that that was the only thing that kept them going. But then if there's an indication they want to help, then I can think about, I can pray about, or I can consider my own experience of behavior, problems, background, seriousness, condition, religious leanings. These might also be things on this program where we might offer ourselves as a sponsor, and as people call, just get an idea of what is their behavior, their problems, their background, how serious things are. For me, my behavior was insane, and I gained and lost over 100 pounds several times. My problems were all the problems listed in the bedevilment. I really couldn't manage my life or my emotions. I still find my life unmanageable, but now I have a power greater than me that restores me to sanity and helps me rather than to manage my life, to flow with my life and accept my reality. My background is that I struggled in this disease since I was 12 years old, and my seriousness was it was deadly. 6 medical specialists, several hospital stays. My religious leanings were that I had a faith and a belief in grace, but not grace for me. For me, there was a lower power voice that said I was a piece of crap. So I take this information, I try and put myself in their place. Often I find myself saying that it's hard to believe, but for me, it's easier to be out of the food than to be in and out, in and out, in and out. And think about how I would want to be approached, which is, that this person is named the prospect in the paragraph before, and I consider someone a prospect until they've found their food plan, their abstinence that they want to start with, and have stuck with that and read with me through the big book, through the doctor's opinion. I might have several prospects that lead to one sponsee, so I don't get too over-invested in them. I get over-invested in offering what I can. I'm not a good enough sponsor to take anyone out of the food. I just try to walk with them and see if they can find, as I was lucky to find, a power greater than me that could help me. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie E.B. Perfect timing, too. Well, we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And so if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. We also ask that you please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow for time for as many people as possible to share too. I will remind you when your time is up. So if you would like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Hi, Susanna A. from Los Angeles.
I've got you, Susanna
from Michigan.
I didn't ask that next person. What was your name, please?
Metris J. from Michigan.
Metris J. from Michigan. Was that Metris or Metris? Okay. Who else would like to share?
Dawn B.
Gotcha, Dawn. Thank you. Quiet bunch this morning. Anyone else want to get in on this first round? Okay, well, we will start with Susanna A, Metris J, and Dawn B. Susanna, you're going to be first, followed by Metris. Good morning, Susanna.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks so much. I'm Susanna A. from Los Angeles. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm laughing at myself because my sponsor, you know, directed me to do this. I'm new in the program, and I'm trying to share, you know, at 2 or more meetings a week. And, of course, I'm my heart is pounding and I'm deeply uncomfortable, but I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to hear what everyone's been saying. what was really reaching out for me on this paragraph is it focuses, I think, on me on compassion and connection. And, you know, I can be like a bull in the china shop. I can just like plow in there with my own ideas and plans. But if I'm trying to rightly align myself with another person and their problems and their backgrounds and their condition, I have to sort of shift my directive to put myself in their place, right? And then, you know, how do I do that, right? I would ask for a higher power, and I would ask for direction. I would ask for an indication, and I would listen. You know, maybe that's something I need to do is pause and listen and get out of my head and hear the other person. So it's like this, it's so funny because this little paragraph, I think, just talks a lot about how to rightly align myself with someone that maybe I could be of service to eventually. And anyway, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. I'm going to pass.
Well, thank you so much, Susan A. from California. Glad that you shared this morning. Next, we're going to have Nitris J. followed by Dawn B. Good morning, Nitris.
Good morning. This is Nitris J. from Michigan, a recovered compulsive overeater. Very glad to be here, and thank you so much for your service. What stood out for me in the reading is that if the person is ready and willing to receive what we have in this wonderful program and is willing to go to any length, then I am there for them to do anything that I can to help. And that means for me, if they need a ride to the meetings, I will pick them up. If they need to call me at 3 a.m, I will be available. If they need me to buy them a book, I will buy a book. When I came into this beautiful program in 1990, that's what the old timers did for me. They went out of their way so unselfishly, and they went to any length to help me. And that's what I have been taught. You know, I don't want to get into all that personality or you, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, these want to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay, I've always heard that the disease, when we're in a meeting, is outside in the hallway doing push-ups. So that's how serious this disease is. And it can kill and steal and destroy. So I take my program very seriously and how I help people and be there for them very seriously. It is not about control or trying to make people feel bad or do a certain thing. No, if they're willing, they're going to do it. So I just do what I can to help in any way that I can. And I tell you, it makes a world of a difference. I used to call the people, those old timers, every day. I know I had to be getting on their nerves. It was so much going on with me. And you know what? Not once did they make me feel like I was bothering them. That's love. And thank you so much. I have to bring love in this program as well. Not control. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass, and thank you for your service again.
Thank you so much, Nitris J. from Michigan. Next, we've got Dawn B. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered from Southern California. such a gift to be on the line this morning. Yes, if there is an indication that he wants to stop, it took me 34 years in the rooms before I was able to get abstinent for any length of period of time. So if you're out there and you're struggling and it's been a long time, there's a miracle with your name on it, because if it can happen for me, it can happen for you. This program absolutely works. And in those 34 years, you know, I just couldn't get abstinent. I couldn't. I tried and tried and tried, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't stay abstinent for any length of period of time. And now, all thanks be to God, it's been 13 years of God, of abstaining, God doing for me what I could not do for myself, and I'm down over 120-some pounds from my top weight, at a slender, normal body weight, and abstaining and doing so happily. So the food isn't calling to me. I'm not white-knuckling it. It's not a struggle. It's simply the most loving thing that I can possibly do for myself, and it truly is God doing for me what I could not do for myself. And people will ask me, well, what happened? You know, what changed after those 34 years of not getting it? And I had to do just what this paragraph is talking about. You know, I had to personally for myself realize the seriousness of my condition. I had to take this situation as life or death. And I came to the realization that if I continue on the way that I am, there's nothing ahead for me but a tremendous amount of pain and countless amounts of unnecessary suffering and an early death. That's all I have to look forward to. Or I needed to clearly identify all of my alcoholic foods and behaviors and put them down 100% and grab hold of this program with all the enthusiasm that a drowning person grabs a life preserver and work this like my life absolutely depends on it, because it absolutely does. And working with newcomers helps me to remember with humility those 34 years and remember how I just could not stop. But once I realized and accepted that I am an addict, I realized a little bit of crack cocaine, a little bit of heroin, a little bit of my alcoholic substances is absolutely not okay. It is absolutely death to me. And I had to get to that point. It is life or death. And I just was so sick and tired of being so sick and tired. And that's my time. Thank you so much for letting me share. And this program absolutely works. Don't leave until your miracle happens. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Don B. from California. Well, we can take another lineup. If you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Karen in Florida.
Karen, what's your last initial?
Karen H.
Barbara
Karen
H. New York. Eileen M.
I heard Eileen M, and then I heard a Barbara.
Barbara S. from New York.
From New York. Okay. Yeah.
Lynn D, California.
Dina A, New Jersey.
Was that Lynn D?
Lynn D.
Dina A.
Okay, hold on 1 second, guys. Lynn D from California, and then who was right after Lynn?
Dina A, New Jersey.
Was that Dina?
Yes.
Okay, from New Jersey. Okay, got ya. And do we have anyone else?
Pam B., California.
Pam B. from California. Okay. So I have Karen H., Eileen M., Barbara S., Lynn D., Dina A., and Pam B. And if you could please let us know where you're calling from, we'll go ahead and start with Karen H., followed by Eileen M. Good morning, Karen.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here this morning. Boy, did I ever want to stop. I wanted to stop so badly for so many years. I wanted to stop 16 years old. I actually went into OA when I was 16 years old, and for 2.5 decades, I wanted to stop while I was in program, and I couldn't stop, and I didn't know why I couldn't, and come to realize that the big book wasn't there, nor recovered sponsors as I experienced today in this wonderful fellowship. So, the desire was there, but the way to get, and again, ultimately, the main purpose of this work is to find a power greater than myself, which I never could get to in the ways in which I was being guided in what is, I guess, called more the traditional rooms of 12 step. But, having so many years not successful in program, that I did lots of service. But not one-on-one service with anyone. I never called anyone. I never tried to sponsor anyone. So 16 years ago, when I found this wonderful way, I did have trepidation and concern that of calling people. And, where it says on the page before about frequent contact with our fellows and newcomers, you know, will be the bright spot of our day and even our life. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, that doesn't sound right to me. So I am so incredibly grateful for this paragraph, although, again, I have never really talked to a family member about a prospect. But the principles that they're describing here in this paragraph is similar to what they're going to expand on in the first conversation we might have with a prospect about finding out all we can about this person if he really wants to stop. And, in this first conversation, having hearing his backgrounds and his condition and his religious leanings and finding all we can about this person. And again, many to most of us may not do this with a friend or a relative or a doctor of this person, but in a first conversation, and I need to have this repetition. So here they're saying what they're going to expand on in the following paragraphs. And I'm so grateful for that because again, when I first started to sponsor, I had a great deal of concern about picking up the phone and talking to other people. And this helped guide me. It gave, because again, this is a textbook. It tells me how to do this. It doesn't just say go help somebody without this wonderful specific directions, which has been so incredibly helpful, especially when I was a new sponsor out trying to be of help and service. So I so appreciate the directions in this text. And with that, I will pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Karen H. from Florida. Next, we've got Eileen M., followed by Barbara S. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. My name is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in Lebanon, New Hampshire. And, this is a good paragraph. I think it kind of, comes right after the previous paragraph, which is find out all you can about him or her. My sponsor, when I got to the vision rooms, my sponsor had me write a very detailed food history. And it was very revealing because it helped me to define exactly what I needed to abstain from. And that included food behaviors. So how was I to get entirely abstinent? I got an idea of, exactly what the problem foods were. And I mean, I remember I even put down anything that I thought could potentially be a problem. So I had a lot of, by the time I got to the vision rooms, I had a lot of foods and a lot of ingredients that I need to abstain from. So the other thing I wanted to mention is, get an idea of the seriousness of the condition. I think that's really important because that's, what I could relate to the most is my disease was pretty serious. And the other thing, I'm really grateful for neutrality because neutrality allows me to, it allows me to work with a variety of people because, for example, before I got to the vision rooms, I would have these local sponsors and, the sponsor would say to me, well, I can't eat flour, so that means you can't. And, that was really pretty restrictive. Because, if somebody can eat flour safely and then you're saying, well, because I can't eat flour, you can't eat flour, that's not very helpful to them. So I'm grateful, because I've actually sponsored people that say they can eat sugar. I cannot eat sugar safely. I cannot eat flour safely. But I sponsor people that can. You know, because I think, you know, someone will say that it's, you know, it's important to meet people where they are. And, you know, I'm not one to say, hey, you know, you can't eat sugar, you can't eat that. You know, it's kind of, you know, their absence is between them and their higher power. That's what I believe. And, that's pretty much what I had to comment on that. And, you know, I think what's so important is helping them to get a definition of abstinence. I mean, we all have the same definition. It's, you know, the action of refraining from compulsive eating. But to actually understand what they need to abstain from. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Eileen M. And hey, if you're just joining us, let me tell you where we are at. Let me remind you. We are on page 90 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read the second full paragraph beginning with, if there is any indication, ending with, if the tables were turned. And we read that one paragraph, and that's what we're commenting on this morning. So let's see. Next, we've got Barbara S., followed by Lynn D. Good morning, Barbara.
Hi, this is Barbara, New York. Glad to be here. I think I heard the word ready. First, I had sponsored in the past. Now I'm with a new sponsor, and she said that I should go through the steps again, which I am. I'm on the fourth step. As far as helping others, I recently gave, a cousin asked me about OA, because I had mentioned to her, and, you know, she had mentioned she's unhappy with her weight and that, you know, other things, and I gave her Where Do We Start? I think it's called that pamphlet, something about start, and a few weeks later, I asked her, did she, you know, get a chance? She says, I don't know if I'm interested. And I don't want to push it, because the word ready is very important, because you have to be ready and willing. I've been in program for many years. There are things that I'm fully ready for. I've recently, after many years, I'm fully ready to let my higher power help me. I haven't been doing the greatest job. I've done a fair job. If I was going to rate myself, which I shouldn't, I would give myself a 75 to 80%. But opening up to my higher power, there was something bothering me today mentally, which is connected to the food and everything else when I'm disturbed. And I'm going to get on my hands and knees and just say, God, higher power, help me with my fears. Help me with my fears. And this program is a blessing. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara S., for being here. Barbara S. from New York. Next, we've got Lynn D., followed by Dina A. Good morning, Lynn. And Lynn, if you could hit star one to unmute, we can't hear you.
Thank you so much. I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm so grateful for everybody that makes this meeting possible. I was just reflecting with another, I was making an outreach call yesterday because I've been trying to do this thing where I've connected with my higher power, not only in the morning, but in the afternoon. And so it's such a struggle for me. Just because it's after work and I'm done and then I have to switch over to, you know, mommy mode. But I really try to connect, and one of the ways is making an outreach call. So it ended up, you know, how, you know, do you sponsor? I used to be so like, okay, let's do this and this and make this plan. And you know what? I just really had to be like, I can only offer my experience, strength, and hope. That's all I have. I kind of really want people to find a higher power. So I guess if that's like my thing or you're struggling with that, I really couldn't do the program without it. I tried and tried and tried. I remember one sponsor said, you know, pray to a wall. And I guess, and that works for some people, but it didn't work for me.
I really had to find a higher power that I could do business with. So, you know, and it's super casual, like, you know, if you're going to do a reading or let's read together, let's get together. And if they never call me back, you know, I don't take it personally anymore. And it's just an opportunity to help another person. So I just take it in strides, and I try to be of service when I can. I look for the God moments in all of it, and it is really one of those things where, you know, my experience, strength, is hope is what I have in doing this program, you know, since I was 19, doing it very imperfectly, imperfectly perfect, as some people like to say. But yeah, you know, and having, you know, and I have a sponsor, and I have my fellowship, and I have my 10-step tree, and I have people I send my food to, and, you know, it's kind of the same way with kids. I feel like, you know, it takes a village. I have certain people that I call for certain things that I can relate to, or that, you know, have different experience, strength, and hope that I get from people. But that was another thing, like asking for help and really like making these outreach calls and really, you know, diving into being vulnerable to talk to somebody about different things that are happening in my life. I think that's kind of where I had to start too. So anyway, with that, I will pass. Everybody have a great Friday. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lindy from California. Next, we've got Dina A, followed by Pam B. Good morning, Dina.
Hi, Dina A from New Jersey. I'm grateful to recover today. And just grateful to be on a live meeting where I'm listening to a lineup. I'm like, wait, hey, I'm on live. I could actually give my name. So I'm grateful to participate in my recovery today. I love this line on the bottom. You need this information to put yourself in his place, to see how you would like him to approach you if the tables were turned. And two things can come to mind when I hear this. First of all, I'm remembering an encounter with my sponsor when I was new and I was arguing about something that I didn't call it arguing at the time. I called it like, you know, explaining to her how I would do my ninth step or something and why her way will end up hurting the other person, and just, you know, all my own self in there. And she started to get a little frustrated with me and just started. And then she paused and she prayed and she was like, just God, show me how I can be helpful. Like she asked me the question, like, how can I be helpful to you here? And that was a great lesson, just a great modeling of what this is. It's not about I'm coming to quote unquote help someone with all of my self will, and I'm going to do this right, I'm going to do this smart, it's about how would the other person like to be approached, and how would I like it if, you know, if the tables were turned, so I could put myself in the other person's place and see how I can be helpful. Which is, again, I need for myself as a sponsor as well. And for me, I love how program talks to every part of my life. It's not just with my sponsees, it's also with my family. And this is just a great reminder. Put myself in their place. How would I like to be approached if I was running in the door tired after school or after work and just dumping my things in a trail? I don't know. How would I like to be approached? Definitely not by the person in the house all day who's now been inconvenienced by a book bag and stuff. That's my perspective. Their perspective is they're tired, they're racing for the bathroom, or they're hungry and they need something to eat, or they're just not really thinking about the house because they weren't in there all day. They're thinking about the next things they have to do. So how would I like to be approached if that was me? And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dina A. from New Jersey. Next, we've got Pam B. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. Pam B. from California, grateful, compulsive overeater. I am so thankful for the specific directions in the big book and the directions on how to be a sponsor. When I started with A Vision for You, I believe about 3 years ago, I've had I've had a couple sponsors before I was delivered from the Merciless Obsession, but and all of the sponsors I've had, three, and each was a gift from God, and it had met my lack of recovery was not because of them. It was my disease, and I'm just really grateful. The sponsor I have, I did have the experience of trying to get a sponsor, and I was rejected by people. And at the time, I was had self pity, and I would use that like, and I really thought, I really was baffled by why they wouldn't sponsor me. But now I clearly understand it's because I wouldn't do what they were telling me to do. I wasn't willing. I wasn't ready. And this last spot, my current sponsor, Adore, she said that she could hear I was ready. And she did what is described in this book, in this paragraph, and with me. And she said she felt God telling her to sponsor her. And I haven't been the easiest to sponsor, but I am free today, and I am so grateful. We've actually gone through the steps. And I previously, when I would try to find a sponsor and be denied, it was because I wouldn't go through the steps with them. Of course, they wouldn't sponsor me, right? Well, now I struggled with the sponsor, but we kept going through the steps again. And I'll be through this as the third time, and I'm finally willing and doing what I'm told. And I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it God's way. And really grateful. I look forward to sponsoring. And I'm a teacher. I'm off for the week. And I have to tell you, one of the benefits of recovery is every summer, I've taught for 20 years, every summer, every break, I get really uncomfortable, either in the food or out of the food. And this spring break, let me tell you, there's a freedom. I am comfortable in my skin and working the steps pretty intensively, and just very, very grateful. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Pam B. from California. We've got time for two more. Please let me know your first name and last initial and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Teresa P.
Could you say that again, please?
Teresa P. from California.
Thank you, Teresa P. from California. And we can take one more.
Mary Jo from Minnesota.
Got you, Mary Jo from Minnesota. All right, I've got Teresa P. followed by Mary Jo. Good morning, Teresa.
Well, good morning. I'm Teresa P. from the sunny state of California. And grateful to be at this meeting, which is really saving my life and enhancing my life. That's just saving it. But, you know, life becomes so much more, there's a good word, just so much more good. And even in the midst of difficult times. And I'm really grateful, though, that I got into it. I did get away years ago. And it wasn't perfect, you know. But the good news was is I did have one thing going on my side. I knew I was dying. I knew I was going to die. It was a miserable death. So I was willing to do what I heard, what I told her. I was, first of all, I knew to get a sponsor. I got one. She said she did three meals a day and no chocolate, no sugar. So I said, okay, I can do that. And I did. And the meals were big, but they had a beginning and they had an end. And I did find out along the way. But see, God took that, and I went to meetings. And I called her. She said, call her. The hardest thing was she said, call her in the morning. I didn't want to do that. You know, they take the food, but don't really call. But I was willing to do it. And God works with that. And I did end up changing sponsors because, so it doesn't matter why. And I found out, you know, the meals did get smaller, you know. And I did find out other things that I needed to let go of. But it was like, okay, God just took me by the hand, and I kept doing so, and back and looking the program to the best of my ability.
And Teresa, it's really hard to hear you. There's a lot
Is this any better? Is this any better?
Yes, that's much better.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting me know that. So, but anyway, what I got to do is work the program to the best of my ability with what I had at the time and keep coming back. And so I did. And I did lose almost 100 pounds that first year and pretty much kept that off for the next almost 30 years. I've lost smart weight since then because I've, discovered more things that I was, more foods that I was allergic to, and I got to give them up. But one of the crack-up things for me is that for about 4 or 5 years, I was doing like banana bread and pumpkin bread because they had, it was bread, you know, it's bread. It says pumpkin bread. Now, it finally dawned on me about what I was eating. Like, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I had pumpkin bread. It's the only thing I had on Thanksgiving. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is a problem. And, you know, it gets revealed as it gets revealed. But, you know, nobody trashed me or threw me away. And I just got to keep coming back and doing the best I could. And it has progressed. But the real, real joy in my life has been coming to a Vision for You, where I really get to delve into the big book and really get to the nuts and bolts and the reality of the disease. So, thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Teresa P. in California. Mary Jo, we've got 2 minutes. So if you could please do a 2-minute share. Thank you. Good morning. Mary Jo,
okay, I'm just getting used to this. Mary Jo, compulsive eater. And Monday was my first time on Vision, and I've been on every morning, and even on Wednesday, I got on early, the early one, because I had cataract surgery on both eyes, and I'm not new to OA, but I'm going to tell you, I have never in all the years that I've been in the rooms, I don't know if I've ever experienced such an outpour of support and encouragement, and it's been so welcoming, and there were so many calls and texts, and I've connected with a woman who is willing to take me through the big book and the steps, and she's been so patient all week, and today we're going to dive in and start with assignments, and I'm so ready. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary Jo from Minnesota. We're so glad that you're here.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we will now close the meeting with the reading from the big book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. Eileen M., can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi there. Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.